Before we hop into today's episode, a quick word from our sponsor. Get yourself out of the weeds. Operations, multiple systems, all just to deliver your product or service, are probably just cutting into your margin, not to mention your time. Plus, with expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing rising, everything costs more these days. So you can reduce your costs and headaches by just graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. You can reduce your IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and you can access it from anywhere. Cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems. Go from many to just one. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have made the move. NetSuite is a proven way to cut costs and boost performance at the same time. And to me, that's a pretty smart move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI, netsuite.com/SPI. That's netsuite.com/SPI. Hey, we have an amazing event coming up, the Expert Advantage Workshop Series, where every day for a week, starting on Monday, May 20th, it's myself and another expert coming on to present to you about various kinds of things to help you with your brand and your business. Our brand new experts in residence and pro are going to be there to co-host these workshops with me, and you're not going to want to miss it. You'll have a chance to ask all of them questions, and it's completely free to join. All you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. On Monday, May 20th, Amy Nelson's going to come on, and we're going to talk social media, but specifically how to drive revenue and connect with important stakeholders that matter to you in your business using social media. The next day, we have Nosheen Chen, and she's going to lead a presentation about how to become a better communicator, how to increase those skills faster, because that's going to help you not just connect with new people, new clients, but also get your idea across better. Ton of takeaways in that presentation. And all you have to do to sign up and join and get all the links that you need is smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Again, one more time, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. Join us on our Expert Advantage Workshop Series. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/advantage. This is a Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 85. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, he's going to get you to take action, Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them, thanks to Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Plus, their matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You can ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love how simple Indeed is, and it manages everything. Again, all in one place, from the screenings to the messagings, interviewing. You can do it all from Indeed, which makes it super easy to hire the right person that you need. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Pat Flynn, and welcome to session 85 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Before I get to today's take action content, I just want to talk really quick about the Financial Blogger Conference. This is a conference that I did the opening keynote for last week, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who was there, everyone who helped put that event together. It was such an amazing experience. It was so great to get up on stage and be the first one to sort of set the tone for the conference. And there's going to be a video of my presentation on the Smart Passive Income blog within the next week or so. So please look out for that. And thank you especially to Stephanie from WiredAdvisor.com, who sponsored one of the Smart Passive Income community meetups that we held there in St. Louis last Friday night. And that was an awesome, awesome time. Everybody had a great time there. Now, on to today's featured content, which features a guest who you might remember from episode 46 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. His name is Dane Maxwell. And the last time he was with us, he talked about how to build a business with no ideas, no expertise, and no money. And that episode, episode 46, is the top most downloaded podcast of all time from the Smart Passive Income Podcast archives. That was downloaded over 125,000 times. And a lot of people listened to that episode, and a lot of people did take action. One of those people was a recent guest on the Smart Passive Income Podcast, episode 82. His name was Carl Mattiola. He actually listened to that episode, took action, quit his job at Tesla, and is now running a software company that is helping people in the physical therapy industry. And he's doing really, really well. He talks all about his success and how he went step by step from his day job all the way to what he does now in episode 82. Now, we're bringing Dane back on the show today because as many people that did take action after listening to that episode, episode 46, of course, a lot of people didn't take action and still haven't taken action. And Dane wanted to come on to really tackle what was going on, you know, internally with people who don't take action because, you know, a lot of times we believe that, you know, we don't do things or we aren't finding success because of the things that aren't out there for us. Courses, products, you know, a lot of people try different things, buy a number of different things, try a number of different courses and things like that, and still things don't work out. Well, a lot of times the issue isn't what's going on around us, but it's what's going on within us. And so Dane dives deep into the mindset and what's going on really almost physically within us that is holding us back and how to sort of break through that in order to take action. So whether you're feeling overwhelmed, you've tried things out before, or you just are sort of, you know, paralyzed to take action, this episode is for you. I will tell you that while I was recording this, you know, I had a really tough time trying to understand everything Dane was saying. It's a lot of, you know, this is a completely different interview than his other interview. His other interview was very strategic, and there is some strategy in this one as well, but that one was purely strategic and tactical. This one sort of goes even beyond that to what's happening internally. So I want you to listen to this episode with an open mind. A lot of you are probably going to go into it being like, wow, this might sound kind of crazy, but you know, after finishing this interview, I was really thinking about all the content that we talked about. And, you know, it's really true. A lot of the success that entrepreneurs have starts from within. And when you can find out what's going on inside of you, you're better able to make things happen on the external. So I'll leave it at that. Let's head on over to the interview with Dane Maxwell, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, Dane, man, what's up? Welcome back to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. How are you?
I'm amazing. Thank you, Pat.
Dude, you are, and I have to say that because your previous spot here on the Smart Passive Income Podcast in episode 46 was awesome. A lot of great feedback from that. Actually, it is the number one most downloaded episode to date with over 125,000 downloads. And we saw a lot of people take what you said in that episode and actually take action with it. We saw it in episode 83 with Carl Mattiola, and I've gotten a number of emails and messages and even handwritten thank you letters from people who said that they took action, you know, listening to that episode and all the great information you talked about. And for those of you who didn't listen to that, again, that's episode 46 with Dane Maxwell. And he talked about how to build a software business based on idea extraction and then helping even having your future customers and clients pay for the development of that software. If you remember, the title of that episode was How to Build the Business with No Ideas, No Money, and No Expertise. And it was definitely a hit. But I have to say, as many people as there were that took action after listening to that episode with very clear step-by-step directions, most people, obviously, I mean, 125,000 people listened to it, didn't take action. And really, that's what we're going to talk about here today. So we're actually going to sort of rewind, even before the tactical, strategical stuff. You know, we're going to talk a lot today about, you know, really what's going on as far as taking action. I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know, we hear this all the time, Dane, when we hear about online business and entrepreneurship. You got to take action. You got to take action. But most people don't. Like, why, though?
So I've got a number of stories that come to mind. Just 2 days ago, as of this interview, I met a guy named Chris, and he's a 23-year-old graduate, and he's actually a computer programmer. And he graduated with an aerospace engineering degree. He's a super smart engineer, brilliant mind. He pulled out his ukulele and played While My Guitar Gently Weeps for me. He watched the foundation videos. He found my cell phone number hidden somewhere and sent me a text message. And for some reason, I just replied to him. Just the way he wrote me was so compelling. We ended up hanging out. And he found me through your podcast. And he said, episode 46 changed my life forever. And when we sat down, I realized that this guy could have all the tactics in the world, and he will eventually be successful on his own. He's one of those guys that's probably – he's on track for success. But as an engineer, and most like most engineers, they have a particular identity that they attach to themselves where they feel like they have to either have a brand new, completely new, I already said that, unique, innovative idea that no one else has done before. And it has to be sexy and R&D researched and just totally wicked. And actually, they have this issue with perfectionism. Engineers have a terrible time launching products that are MVP.
Mm-hmm. Minimum, for those of you out there listening, what is MVP? That's minimum viable product, meaning it's not, you know, fully blown with all the bells and whistles. It's just sort of the minimum effective dosage, as Tim Ferriss would say.
That's perfect. And I love how tapped in you are to your audience to know that they might not know that. That's just a reflection of how connected you are to your audience. That's sweet.
Well, thank you.
The thing about MVPs is that, you know, don't worry, be crappy is the axiom that many people use. And sometimes you want to be crappy, sometimes you don't. But to an engineer, it's almost like death. And so an engineer has this identity that they have to be perfect and they have to have a new, brand new, unique idea. Not because they need a new, unique idea, and they don't have to be perfect just to be perfect, but it's because of the identity of who they see themselves as. And so when you go in, and I love working with engineers because you can go in and dismantle that and completely shift their identity and put them on a track of success. Now, Chris is on the way to shifting his identity. And once we shift his identity so he doesn't feel like he has to be perfect and he doesn't feel like he has to have a new unique idea, action taking for him will be just a matter of it'll happen automatically. Because what's going on the deep unconscious, deep emotional level is in the body, when you feel the need for perfectionism or you feel the need for a new unique idea, it's actually an emotional response in your body that paralyzes you from taking action. So if if there's a book, I'm borrowing this analogy from a book. So I'm not making it up. So if you heard this before, it's not for me, but if you picture you're riding an elephant and you're the rider on the elephant and the elephant wants to turn left and you want to turn right, you can yank that elephant right. But after like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, you're going to be exhausted because you know what, the elephant's going to eventually win and go left. And if you're playing the action game trying to ride the elephant is your subconscious beliefs. It's your emotional, it's your emotional awareness, it's all of your emotions. You cannot fight this. You have to address it. Otherwise, taking action for you will continue just to remain a mystery. So anyway, you think you need another course to get strategies or tactics, but what you really need is to focus on the deep inner game, your belief systems in the world and the belief systems in yourself. And I was thinking, Pat, when we did this interview, like if I died tomorrow, how would I want to be remembered? It'd be for the information that I'm about to share in this podcast. So if you just focus on the deep inner game, if you focus on what I'm about to share with you, freedom will finally come and you'll feel so free that massive action will be an automatic result. So we had a student in the foundation named Don Traxler. And when Don joined the foundation, he was getting ready to do his phone calls. And we did a phone call together. And I asked him, "So Don, how are you feeling about doing your phone calls?" He's like, "You know, I'm really nervous."
These are the phone calls to different markets to actually just hear them out to see what ideas might come up to create businesses from.
Yeah, so the principle behind this is we don't come up with any of our own ideas. In fact, I did a failure postmortem, Pat, 2 weeks ago, and I figured out since age 22, I've done 17 different businesses. And seven of them worked. The seven that worked, I didn't come up with any of the ideas. The 10 that failed, I came up with all those ideas. So I just stopped coming up with my own ideas. I stopped guessing, and I just started going to customers and being like, "Hey, what would you buy from me if I was smart enough to offer it to you?" And you can legitimately ask that question. People are like, "Oh, dude, I've been looking for this XYZ thing forever." Well, great. Let me go build it for you. So anyway, that's the premise of the foundation. You go and you talk to customers and you ask them and you help, you find the pain. And so that's what Don Traxler is about ready to do. Now, Don is a college graduate. He's in New York. He's working at a high-end construction company and he's friggin' miserable. Absolutely miserable. And like Chris, who listened to your podcast, Don said every time he went to his job, he felt like he was getting the life sucked out of him. Right. And so when Don was there, I love that subtle right because you can totally resonate with that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's profound. If you're stuck in your cubicle, I'm sorry. Let's get you out. And so Don was working at the company, and he's getting ready to do his ID extraction calls. And I say, Don, so how are you feeling about it? He's like, well, I'm nervous. And so I start to go in and I start to must like kind of gently go into where his body is storing this emotion, and it was stored in his chest. And when we gave his chest a voice, this voice came up and said, you know, you don't belong here. You don't deserve to be an entrepreneur.
Wait. Okay. What do you mean? This sounds kind of weird right now. And I think a lot of people in the audience are thinking the same thing. And I'm not trying to play this down a little. I would just want to know, what do you mean by the voices in his chest? How do you know that? And what does that even mean?
Yeah, let me say that a different way. So when you have a limiting belief or an identity issue running your life, it's an emotional energy stuck in your body. Now you can dismiss this all you want, but if you aren't taking action and you're not where you want to be in life, then you better listen up, or you can continue to stay where you're at.
Well, I like what you said in the beginning, you know, how I know a lot of people who haven't taken action. But they buy a ton of courses, they read a lot of blogs, they listen to a lot of podcasts, and they still have yet to take the action required. They might take a quick action here and there and might meet a wall really quickly and then stop and just say, okay, well, this thing I just bought doesn't work. I'm going to go on to the next thing. I know a bunch of people who've spent thousands of dollars on things and still haven't gotten anywhere. I mean, is that a sign that the courses and the things that they're reading and listening to aren't working, or is it something within? And I think what you're talking about is, it's, you know, maybe it's not those things, it's something else inside. And what I'm really excited about with this episode is, you know, this is stuff that's like, okay, you don't need to spend money to figure this out. You just need to understand what's going on inside of you.
Yes. And the thing about this is, if you knew what was blocking you, then you'd have it figured out already. That's the mere definition of a block. You can't actually see what's blocking you, which is why you need someone else to shine a light on this. When you apply consciousness or awareness to anything, it begins to shift. So anyway, when emotion is stuck, it's usually stuck in your stomach, your chest, your throat, or your head. In this case, I asked Don, where is it stuck at? And at the end of this interview, or in the show notes, Pat, I'm going to give away the entire MP3 of me doing this session with Don, so you can listen. You can see the whole thing go down before you judge this as good or bad for yourself. Listen to that. But let me tell you what's important. What's important is not whether or not you believe what I'm about to say. What's important is Don Traxler's results. And what happened for Don is, he was engaged at the time. He was working at a job in New York. And now 7 months later, he ended his engagement. He quit his job in New York. And he's now living in Boulder, Colorado. And he partnered with someone. And he's got a business running full time doing live chat support for websites. And it's doing very well. I think they were $2,000 a month in their first month releasing. And they're growing. And he got rejected. And he got his butt kicked all up and down the court for about 6 months. And now imagine, so what happened for Don is, he had this feeling in his chest. And what you do is you say, hey, Don, if you were to give your chest a voice, it's trying to tell you something. What do you think your chest is trying to tell you? And he's like, whoa, this is weird. I don't even know what's going on, but my chest says, I don't deserve to be an entrepreneur. So anyway, we went in and we reversed this belief by following a very specific framework. And in about 15 minutes to 30 minutes, I asked him, what's the opposite thought of this? Like, we got to the point and all of a sudden his whole energy changed. And he said, no, it's weird. It's not like I don't deserve to be an entrepreneur. And he was kind of like hesitant. He goes, I was born to be an entrepreneur. And it came deep from within and his whole body expanded. And that was the day his life changed, when his identity went from, huh, entrepreneurs, I don't really feel like I'm part of that crowd. Entrepreneurs, I don't really feel like I belong. Entrepreneurs, I'm not really sure if I can actually do that stuff, to no, I was born to be an entrepreneur. And now his life will never be the same. And I could have given him all the tactics and all the strategies in the world, but he could have never done it. And so if you're listening to this podcast and you have any doubt in your mind whether you can be an entrepreneur or not, this could be your ticket home. I have another example, and I'm not going to mention this guy's name because it's not really embarrassing to me, but he would like it to be kept private and I do want to share it. And he's okay with that if I don't use his name. So
sure.
This gentleman second guessed himself all the time. And he would, his process in the foundation was, okay, let me try this. Let me take a step back. Okay, let me try this. Okay, wait, let me take a step back. Okay, let me try this. Okay, wait, let me take a step back. And meanwhile, every time he's taking a step back, he's asking someone in the foundation a question for validation and approval that what he's about to do is right. He did this off and on and off and on for 6 months, to the point where I watched him, and I was watching it about 6 months in, and we had a phone call. And I was like, dude, what is going on? And so anyway, this is where stuff's going to get really weird. But I applied a technique called muscle testing. And I zeroed in. So the thing is with emotional trauma, like this guy had emotional trauma. And he could, if you're second guessing yourself all the time and you're really nervous about making the wrong decision, that's totally, like, if that's you, that's okay. There's something at the core of that that once addressed, you'll totally lighten up. And so anyway, I find out where this energy is stuck in this guy's body. And we find out it's in his stomach. And when issues are stuck in your stomach, it's generally an issue with acceptance or rejection. So anyway, I apply this technique called muscle testing, Pat. And if I didn't lose your audience, then I'll lose them now.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out where I'm at.
Well, so what's not important is whether you believe the process or not. What's important is that you understand his result. And Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, said, when you're a forward-thinking entrepreneur out to change the world, you're going to have to tolerate being understood for a while the world catches up to your belief. And this is totally true. This stuff totally works. And if we were back and the world was flat and I told you the world was round, you would call me crazy. And right now, this is what I'm telling you, that the world is round and this stuff works. So don't be the guy thinking that this world is flat when it's really round, because this stuff's amazing. And you don't have to believe me. Just look at the results. So this guy, we go in and we find out this thing in his stomach. And like if you're trouble second guessing yourself, zero into where you feel that in your body. For this guy, it was stuck in his stomach.
So you can literally feel where you said stomach, chest, throat, and head. Like how do I know where these doubts are coming from? Can I literally feel them?
Oh, totally.
I've never thought to think to myself, where in my body am I feeling these doubts, when I feel these doubts, but I'll try that the next time. But it's kind of interesting that you're asking them, okay, well, where is this? And then you can kind of gauge sort of what the underlying, deeper inner thoughts are happening here.
Well, here's what happened with him. So I found out that I applied this technique called muscle testing, and you can Google it and you'll find people are like, oh, it's not scientifically based. Oh, it doesn't work. But the thing is, it did work for me and this gentleman. And so what happened was, we found out I was doing this technique and I was like, oh, wow, the source. So here's the thing. When you have this emotional issue, almost all emotional issues have a source trauma that's deeply stuck. And emotions that you bury, they never die. Every emotion that you bury and don't feel is stuck in your body until you go feel it. So all you need to do, the way to freedom, the path to freedom, is this is the fastest path to freedom. This is the coolest stuff I've ever found in my life. This is why the foundation had 41 students graduate with a paying customer in their business, an insanely high success rate. It's because of this stuff. Now, so this gentleman, we go in, I find out, hey, what happened at age 14? And like, he's like, whoa. And he got silent. And then all of a sudden, about 30 seconds later, he breaks down in tears. And he's like, oh, I remember making a decision. And then I remember my mom reaming me for making a wrong decision. And she made me feel stupid. She made me feel incompetent. And she made me feel worthless for making such a wrong decision. And ever since then, I have not been able to make a decision in my life. In fact, I'm stuck in college and I switched my majors 3 or 4 times because I've been unable to make a decision. We go in and we feel the felt sensation. And I'm crying with him because I'm feeling him. Like, in order to do this work, you get really present and you start feel like you can feel the felt sensation. If you just go into your body, you can really feel where people are at. So, you know, and he's on the other line and he's crying, and about 1 or 2 minutes passes, and then he's like, "Oh, I feel a lot better." So you go back, you find, if you're second guessing yourself, you find the emotion, it's stuck in your stomach. You can just feel that energy, but then once you trace it back to its origin and you feel the root sensation, it's uncomfortable for a little bit, but then once you feel it, the emotion goes away and then you're free. So what happened for this guy is he felt for about 2 minutes, maybe three or four. He's like, "Wow, I feel a lot better." And it wasn't but about 2 or 3 weeks later that he got some coaching from another member in the foundation, and he closed his first $10,000 deal nearly instantly.
Well, it sounds like you're sort of playing psychiatrist here, and you're sort of, you know, the person's on the couch or whatever and lying down, and the psychiatrist is really trying
This is the furthest thing from psychiatry. All we're doing, I didn't ask him to tell me about childhood trauma. We just felt the feeling for a little bit, and then he became free.
How did you know it was something that happened when he was 14?
Well, this is a process that we use in the foundation, and I'm very intuitive, and I just kind of go into this and I feel it, and I apply muscle testing, and it's totally woo-woo and totally out there, but this guy is now free. And so this is the deep identity stuff. And you don't need to do the woo-woo stuff that I'm talking about, but what I want you to understand is that taking action is not a matter of tactics. If you're like Don Traxler, or you're like this other gentleman, where you don't think you could be an entrepreneur, or you're always second-guessing yourself, I want you to understand that no tactic on the planet's ever going to free you. What's going to free you is shifting your identity. What's going to free you is shifting a belief.
Yeah, I can 100% agree with you on that, because if you don't believe it's going to happen yourself, it's not going to happen at all.
Now, there's another gentleman that we did this with, and we have trained a number of – we've had a number of successful foundation students that have been trained in neuro-linguistic programming to do the kind of – to do the kind of stuff that I'm talking about with you here. And so if you are the kind of person – you know, the foundation teaches you how to build a software company. But really, if you build a software company, that's great. I'm happy for you. And at the same time, what I'm really interested in is the personal transformation that you have to go through to become the kind of person that can hold a software company in your hand. Wow, look at what kind of person do you have to become to be able to hold a company in your hand? And if you want a business right now and you want freedom right now and you don't have it, that's not a good feeling. That wanting of something and not having it is not a pleasant feeling at all. And if you're struggling and you've been wanting this for a while, the longer you go wanting it and the longer you go not getting it, the more painful that feels. So if I can sit with just one person a day and say, "Hey, what is it that you're wanting in your life? And what do you think is stopping you?" And then go in and help free them emotionally, and they can go and have what they want, then I'll consider my life a total success. Because my reason why for living is to end that suffering of people not getting what they want. So this is the whole process. And we can break it down a heck of a lot more, which I want to.
Okay, let's hear it.
So the third example I want to talk about, the third story was a gentleman, and I won't mention his name either because I haven't asked permission. And this guy, he's in his 40s, and he's a musician, and he's never really been known to have money in his life. So we get to the phase in the foundation where you have to start selling your product, and he's extracted a sick idea. He's got an iPad app that helps solar installers install more solar panels on homes. It's a really cool idea. You know, he's extracted the pain. He hasn't built the product yet. In order to build the product, you have to pre-sell it first. If you build a product before you pre-sell it in the foundation, we kick you out. You're not allowed to build a product until you've gotten a sale. So he's got to sell a product now. And he can't sell it for the life of him. Now, when it comes to asking for money, totally, totally crippled and paralyzed. So we go through this limiting belief session, and I don't do any of this woo-woo muscle testing. This time I'm just like, go back to when you asked for money. Where do you feel it in your body? He's like, "Oh gosh, I'm so nervous." I'm like, "Yeah, where at? Stomach, throat, chest, or head?" And he's like, "Oh, it's in my stomach." And I was like, "Great. So let's just go into that for a little bit." And we found out that like he thought that it was his biological descent and his legacy for his whole family and the whole origin of his family to be poor. And he got this belief from his father, who told him that money is the hardest thing in the world to make. And if you make money, you're evil, because the only way to make a lot of money is to manipulate or take advantage of other people. Now, if you've learned that belief from your parents, how in the world are you supposed to go out and be successful when every time you make a lot of money, you might subconsciously feel, even if you're doing it ethically, you still subconsciously feel like you're manipulating or taking advantage of people.
Mm-hmm.
So once he became like, literally, you don't have like therapist is, I kind of feel a little distaste for that when I think about this, but I can also see how you use the word. But what we're talking about is consciousness, applying consciousness and awareness to these issues. And once you apply this, like once you become aware, like, basically consciousness is being like, okay, I'm aware I have this block now. See, this guy, he had a block around money and he didn't even know what it was. As soon as he found out that it was from his father and his father said this and it wasn't true, boom, it freed him. There was no more fixing that needed to be done. The body naturally wants to be happy, but the body can't be happy when this stuff is blocking it. And a block is a block because you can't see a block. So these are three examples. One guy can't ask for money. One guy can't do his phone calls. One guy second guesses himself all the time. Now they're all completely free.
And it's simply because they found the origin of where those thoughts are coming from.
Yes. And the thought is typically a stuck emotion in the body. So I know the ins and outs of how taking action really works, and I know what gets in the way. And when it comes to taking action, when it comes to living life, there's five core fears. The first is the fear of success. The second is the fear of failure. The third is the fear of change. The fourth is the fear of losing your identity. And the fifth is the fear of worthlessness. Now, there are a number of things stuck in there, like, you know, perfectionism, or, you know, you're overwhelmed, or you doubt yourself a lot. And that could be in different things. But I tell you, what really screws with people is the identity stuff. Because if you believe that you're actually a failure and then you think that your friends and family see you as a failure, we have a lot of people sabotage themselves inside the foundation because they have a fear of success. It's the whole two steps forward, one step back, or one step forward, two steps back, or whatever it is. They're always going to be successful and they're like, whoa, I could actually be successful. I better sabotage this. Because the pain of being successful would mean you have to give up your old identity of being a failure. And if you give up your old identity of being a failure, then your parents and your friends and family all now see you as success, and that can be pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know, one of the Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker, he has this list of sort of mantras that you should believe and say to yourself, and I actually have them printed out and up here on my desk so I can look at them every day, and I do read them to myself. A lot of these here that I'm actually looking at this list right now are actually related to what you're saying, especially when it comes to the fear of success. I know that's a real thing because I've had the same ideas myself. A lot of people feel weird about receiving money in that other person's case. And one of these mantras here is to say to yourself, you know, I am an excellent receiver. I'm open and willing to receive massive amounts of money into my life. And when I can believe that, it is more likely that it'll happen, or at least I'll be accepting to it so I don't sabotage myself like you were saying. Here's another one. What I heard about money isn't necessarily true. I choose to adopt new ways of thinking that support my happiness and success. And then just sort of the underlying theme here is, you know, my inner world creates my outer world.
That's so good. When you said the first one, I felt my stomach completely relax and be like, yes, I love receiving money. Now, when Pat said that, if your body got tight anywhere, that's something to focus on.
Interesting.
So it is interesting, and it's actually completely amazing to realize that the real game of entrepreneurship is played on the emotional level. The deep inner game of entrepreneurship is where things are won. Now, I have one of my friends wanted, you know, this podcast is really about how to finally take action, even if you're overwhelmed, lost, and you don't know where to start. Okay, in order to get you to take action, I want to give you some really specific action exercises, and I want to give you a chance to work with me personally. But I also want to tell you a story about what happens when you start becoming this kind of person. So I have a friend, and he wanted to get free rent for a year. So what he did is he called up radio stations, and he asked the radio stations if they had any unused advertising minutes. And all radio stations have unused advertising minutes. They said yes. He said, great, can I buy them for 50 cents on the dollar? The radio station said yes, because they were going to go unused. So he got that block. He called up a bunch of radio stations and got a block of like thousands of minutes of unused advertising space. Then he called up two or three property management companies and he said, hey, would you guys like to advertise on the radio for 50 cents on the dollar? And they're like, yeah. He's like, great, there's only one condition. I want to live free for a year. He got one property management company to agree yes, and he got free rent for a year. Now, this is the kind of world that becomes open to you when you become the identity of entrepreneur, the identity of like negotiate. Like I was listening to your Noah Kagan podcast, and Noah's a brilliant guy. And this is like the way, like the world that Noah sees is so different from the world that many other people see. And he just sees the world through a different lens. And once you start to breathe entrepreneur, once you become the kind of person that thinks, eats, and breathes entrepreneur, things like this getting free rent for a year, they become sort of second nature. So we can talk about, you know, there's another reason about taking action. You know, Carl Mattiola was one of the most successful students in the foundation. The guy's absolutely brilliant. Now, in Carl's interview, did you talk about how he shifted his identity at all?
Yeah, we talked a lot about his fears going into idea extraction and calling. And then, you know, even beyond that, just working with the customers that he got to pay for his stuff. And then, you know, once he saw, you know, his first customer, he made a mind shift change. And I think that's when he finally believed in himself. And I know for a lot of people, taking action, you know, is difficult. But that one first small win really just changes everything. And I'm not sure if that sort of is a big enough event to sort of forget or just overlook everything that is inside that is holding people back. But I know that's a big reason why a lot of people finally succeed is because they just start and they finally appreciate those small wins. Another thing I know is, and this is what was it for me when I got laid off. You know, my back was up against the wall. And I was completely fearful of doing a lot of these things that I ended up doing simply because I had no choice. And I will be honest with you, I didn't really look inside of myself beforehand. I was just like, I have no choice but to succeed. So I have to do this. And then when it was finally, I got that first two customers on that that first day I sold my ebook, that's when I knew that, you know, this is the change for me. This is the direction I should be going.
I love that you said that. And for me, that was the same case for me. Like my back was up against the wall. So all the fears and everything, they had to be there while I was taking action. You know, like I couldn't just sit there and address them because I didn't even know how. But once you have the emotional awareness, you can actually address it at the same time. Now, this identity stuff is really important. And if your back's not up against the wall and you're kind of comfortable, it's a really bad place to be because you're like 90% happy.
Right. That's a thing. Like I always tell people, you know, if I wasn't laid off, I would probably still be doing architecture and I'd probably be happy, but I wouldn't know what it would be like to be this happy or do these kinds of things or even understand what this whole online business and this world that I'm in now is all about. A lot of people are complacent, and there was a whole documentary about that Adam Baker from Man vs. Debt film called I'm Fine, Thanks. You know, people say that in defense. I'm fine, thanks. When really on the inside, something else is going on. So if you haven't seen that documentary, I'm actually in it. You can check it out. That's I'm Fine, Thanks. You can just do a Google search and you'll find that documentary. It has a lot to do with the stuff we're talking about here today.
Yeah. And so there are, when your back's not up against the wall and you have identity issues, you're just like, you're sabotaged everywhere. And, you know, some people that join the foundation, they join for false reasons why to be successful, if you will. Like, for example, if I have someone who joins and they join to kind of prove their worth to their husband or wife, or prove their worth to their parents, or prove their worth to themselves, it can work, but it's not very fun for them. Versus, you know, the guy that came over that listened to your podcast, that dude wants to have an impact on the world. I was like, so why do you want to do this? He's like, I want to have an impact on the world. Okay, you're solid. So, you know, Carl Now, what Carl didn't talk about with you in that interview is that he reversed 28, 29, or 30 different identity-based limiting beliefs. And he didn't talk about that with you, did he?
He didn't get into that much detail, but are you saying he had 28 to 30 things that were holding him back that he consciously made a decision to switch?
Yes.
What were some of those things?
I don't even know.
Well, we should get Carl back on the show then.
We should get Carl back. And we can include a document of he's actually got them all documented. He wrote them all and he looked at it every day. But it was 20, like that was the sauce. That was like, could he have been successful without it? Maybe. But it was the limiting belief stuff that really freed him up to be successful.
Do you have any idea of maybe a few that maybe might be common between some of your students, limiting beliefs that some of your students have? I mean, we talked about the most common fears. I'm sure some of them were fear of success, change in ID, fear of failures. I know a huge one for a lot of people too, especially in the eyes of their parents and their friends and their spouses and significant others.
So I opened up Carl's document. I've got quite a few of them here. So Carl says my limiting beliefs. He says feeling it in my chest and my stomach. Worried that this is all fake and I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm concerned that the problems I find in my market may be too complicated to solve. I'm worried that this is going to cause me so much stress that it will make me sick and live in an unhealthy way. I don't know if I can sustain a high energy level and keep plugging away to get this done. I am concerned that people will think I'm a sleazy sales guy on the phone. I'm afraid of what people may think of me if I try new things because I do not want them to see me fail. I'm nervous that now that I've chosen an idea, so that those were those when he was getting started. And now he's got to believe, now his beliefs are shift. I'm nervous that now that I've chosen an idea, my idea will not work out and people will not want to help me build it. I feel anxious about the new competition coming into my space and that I will lose my prospects to them. And all of these I'm telling you have all been cleared by him. And this is why, in my opinion, Carl's been successful. And this is why I'm shocked that people don't talk about this online. It's almost like it's this dismissed thing, but what I'm talking about right now, this is the path to freedom. This is the path to action.
Yeah, Carl talked about a few of those things. He talked about his competitor and how he felt, and also just wondering if his idea is going to finally take off and, trying to get customers to pay for it before it was built. Yeah, he talked about a few of those things and what was going through his head, and that honestly was some really, really interesting and insightful information from Carl during that episode 82. And that's stuff that we all think of. And I think it's really cool that you actually have a document of him sharing that information with you and the other people in the group, because then he identifies it and he knows that that's there holding them back. So what's our call to action, Dean, for those of us listening who are either just starting out or maybe we have a business and it's not taking off to where we want it to go? What is our call to action? What can we do? Should we create a list like this? And how do we do that?
Well, here's just to kind of wrap up the Carl thing, the one of the very most important things that we see in all of our successful students, and I have for myself is, and you probably have for yourself, Pat, is a deep reason why we're doing what we're doing.
Oh yeah.
And like I told you, the bad ones, like validation and proof that you're valued to others and stuff. Here were Carl's whys. He said, my why is I want to be at the mansion party at the end of the foundation. I want my customers to love me and trust me. I want to offer my customers as much value as I can, far more than they pay. I want to be honest. I want to be uber curious. My customers and even others will be raving fans. I'll have at least 500 customers at $100 per month, which is 50 grand a month and 600 grand a year. My business is automated. I spend 2 hours per day on a max. I spend the rest of my time to teach other people or how I help people. And this is one of the cool things about we notice in the foundation is like people are so impact driven and they love to teach. And then he'll have time to spend with his girlfriend. He'll have time to go surf. He now surfs every morning while everyone else is working at Tesla. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to surf and work every day or work from Tahoe if I feel like it. I want to be free of corporate America and be my own boss. I want to be able to support my parents. Like when you have this written out and you look at it like Carl did every day, what can stop you from taking action? And then you start taking action. You have the doubts. All these doubts come up while you take action and you use our limiting belief framework to reverse it. You're now unstoppable. And so the limiting belief framework you can find with Byron Katie at thework.com. It's a free thing, and I would never put that behind. It's Byron Katie stuff, but I would never put that kind of thing behind a paywall, because this is stuff that I want to use to change the world. And now, when it comes to taking action, a lot of your audience is either like they feel like they gotta find their passion, or they feel like they gotta find an idea, or they have to have an idea. Well, let me tell you, you don't need to find your passion. Make your passion solving painful problems. Make your passion the process of you becoming free. Make that your passion. Okay. And then just start taking action and make your passion being freedom. So that means that if you're passionate about bird feeders, or you're passionate about like yoga, or you're passionate about this, like my recommendation is not to go in those areas. My recommendation is to become passionate about the process of you becoming free. And if that doesn't resonate with you, that's okay. You don't have to do this. But what I'm about to give you is an exercise that you can go out and find painful problems to solve. And when you go out and do this action, I want you to do it with your friend, with a friend or a family member or an uncle or a relative that you know that owns a business, but someone close to you. Now, when it comes to finding painful problems, there are a few places where you can go and find endless sources of pain. And those sources are your to-do list, your email inbox, and your calendar. So if you have someone and you have them walk you through their to-do list, and you say, all right, so take me through your to-do list. And they take you through all the 10 items or the 5 or 10 items of your to-do list. And you say, great, what's the most painful one on there? What's the one that you dread doing the most? That's a really painful issue. There's probably a product that could be solved around it. If you go inside the email inbox, I'll give you a really specific example. If you're inside a real estate agent's email inbox and you ask him, hey, just walk me through the last 20 emails in your inbox. I don't need to know personal details. I'm not trying to do that. I just want to know the general idea. And then realtor comes across the email with a contract for a listing or a pending offer that needs to be signed. You say, okay, well, of all the emails you mentioned, what's the most painful email? Oh, this contract thing. Well, why is it painful? Oh, I got to print it off. I got to sign it. I got to scan it and put it back and attach it and send another email. Well, electronic signature software could have been birthed from going through the pain in someone's email inbox. And an email inbox is nothing more than an endless source of painful problems. Yep. You can go in and find a number of great ideas. The next is the calendar. Now we say, show me the events on your calendar that you dread the most. Oh, this thing about a website redesign. Well, how do you go about doing that right now? What tools are you using? Are you happy with those tools? And you can just start diving into the calendar. Now, you think to come up with a great business idea, you think to start a business, you need to come up with a great business idea. But really, great business ideas come from finding painful problems. So if you just focus on finding pain, then you'll have all the business ideas you ever need. Now, if you think you need to be an expert, you don't need to be an expert. If you just write down and define that pain super clearly, you can hire an expert. You can hire in software guys. You can hire an ebook expert. You can hire in anyone to come and create the product for you. And if it's scary, totally understandable. It was for me, for all the software products that I built within my business, always scared of hiring software. So if it's scary, that's totally understandable. But what would you rather do? Would you rather go to school for 3 or 4 years to become an expert? Or would you rather interview someone, define their pain, hire an expert, and have a business in like 3 months? You know, my buddy's making about $4,000 or $5,000 a month right now, and he's just getting ready to quit his job. And he's helping LASIK surgeons generate more leads on their website, because he was asking LASIK surgeons, hey, what's your pain? They're like, they need more customers. And so he went into their website and found all these holes. And so he signed up for AWeber, and he's paying AWeber $20 a month. And then he's turning around and selling AWeber for $400 a month on an area exclusive offer to LASIK surgeons. And what happens if you go to a LASIK surgeon's website, after 30 seconds, a pop-up comes up and it says, hey, are you a candidate for LASIK? Take our quiz. Are your eyes dry or round? Are your eyes this or that? Like whatever the quiz is. Mm-hmm. And then they enter their email address, and he's got a follow-up sequence he's written to drive leads into the business. Now, a LASIK surgeon pays $400 a month for this. And if they get one deal, it's worth it. One deal a month, it's worth it to them. Now, would you rather go to school for 8 or 10 years to become a LASIK surgeon? Or would you just rather develop your entrepreneurial mindset and sell a pop-up form for $400 a month and have more freedom than a LASIK surgeon and have more income potential. He's only making $5,000 because that's what he wants. Now, if your passion truly is becoming a LASIK surgeon, don't dismiss your passion and go do that. If you really enjoy that, go do that. I'm not saying to ignore your passion in that way. I'm saying if you're trying to find your – here's what I didn't like about what I said earlier. If you're stuck from taking action because you're trying to find your passion, then switch it up and try something else. But if you have your passion and you are taking action, good for you. That's what I'll say.
Okay. Awesome. Now, I want to go back really quick. You were talking about Carl and his lists. And that's really interesting to me because I think something like that could be really beneficial. You know, it's sort of like it's sort of like a brain dump or a mind map, if you will, because when you have a bunch of ideas and things going on in your head, in your body, wherever, and you put it on paper and you see it, it becomes clear and you can organize it. That's the benefit of mind mapping. Well, I think that's sort of what Carl's doing. And so, I mean, how would you recommend that we develop this list? And I was trying to think of a name for this while you were talking. You know, he has his list of why nots, which you talked about, but also his list of whys. So maybe it's a list of your whys and why nots. Why aren't you taking action? What's holding you back? What are you scared of? Versus, well, why do you want to take action? What's on the other side? What are you doing this for?
That feels awesome. And you know what? What's going to happen is if you are afraid of taking action, you may actually resist this whole process of writing things down. Because if you write these things down, like the part of you that's not taking action wants to keep you from taking action.
Right. You're going to hold yourself back from actually revealing what's down there.
Yeah, totally. So
how do we extract that stuff? Or what could we do?
Well, you know, if you need to assess your desire level. If your desire level is not at 100%, this isn't really that worth it to you. But if your desire, like you're one of those people, your desire level is 100% and you're still not getting the results. Because if you have, like, you know, on the left-hand side of a whiteboard, you have you. And on the right-hand side, you have a goal. And then the line in between is the action you take to get to that goal. If you don't get to the goal, it's not that the action itself is broken. It's that there's a belief about something there that's like preventing it from happening. Now, you can re-switch your actions up and do things like that, but you're not going to be able to re-switch your actions up if the belief is wrong. So what I recommend is just set a timer for 10 minutes and put that timer down and then do your best to write down everything you think that's stopping you from taking action. You're probably going to come up with a list like self-doubt, fear of failure, and you know, the list, perfectionism, worried what my friends or family are going to think. Then take those sentences through Byron Katie's process at thework.com. And you can print out an exercise and follow along and completely reverse the belief all on your own. Now, I will tell you, it is a difficult thing to do on your own. So if you would like to have someone do it with you, you can probably Google search limiting belief reversal experts. We also offer this kind of thing inside the foundation. And I really recommend having someone else help you through it, because a blind spot's a blind spot, it's a block's a block, because you can't really see it. Right. But as long as you get those things out in writing, set your iPhone, like at the end of this podcast, if you haven't been taking action, set your iPhone timer for 10 minutes. Pull out a sheet of paper or pull up a Google Doc and start typing in every reason why you haven't taken action. I'll give you like what I would do right now. And this is what I have done. Every reason why you haven't taken action. Then below it, write down where you feel the most energy. You're like, wow, you know, I'm really afraid of what my parents will think. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and picture your stomach, your chest, your throat, or your head, and be like, wow, I really feel that in my stomach. Then I want you to go in and ask for more of that uncomfortable feeling. Okay, you're going to go in and I did this process so many times. I had one genius guy in the foundation like edit an MP3 so he could walk himself through the process every time this happened to him. And I don't know where that MP3 went, but you have the stomach, ask for more of that feeling. Then when the feeling gets amplified and uncomfortable enough, stay with that discomfort. And then see if you can't like give your stomach a voice and be like, hey, I feel you're uncomfortable. Are you here to tell me anything? Because all these uncomfortable parts in your body are really trying to talk to you. And if you're not feeling them and you're ignoring them and you're trying to outthink them or you're saying this is stupid or whatever and you're shutting them down, you're really causing yourself a lot of suffering. So write down these thoughts. Find the source of energy in your body. Feel it. Ask it to give you a voice. And then just that's it. Those are the first three things you need to do. And you'll start to notice that you'll live your life from a completely different space. Now, what happens when when you find something like this, the effects are exponential and they ripple throughout every area of your life. So when that gentleman learned to stop second guessing himself and he got his first $10,000 deal, mm-hmm. His relationships changed. He became more confident. Like he lived life differently. It's not like you change this in this area. Like I believe that entrepreneurship is a remarkable path for personal growth and self-discovery.
Right.
Nice. So what are you thinking right now? Like, is this anything like what you expected?
No, I mean, to be honest with you, it's not what I expected when we started this call, but I like the information and you speak to me because this is a lot of the same stuff I was feeling when I was getting started. Now that I think about it, you know, a lot of the fears that were holding me back, and luckily I had my back up against the wall and I took action and I appreciated the small wins on it. And I had a lot of other people working with me that I could ask questions with, to guide me forward when I just wanted to quit. But a lot of that was probably because of all the stuff that was happening internally, which was probably coming from my past, you know, just growing up, knowing that I always wanted to work that 9-to-5 job, that was the right thing to do, that that was the path that successful people take. And it took me getting laid off, thankfully, to understand that that's not what's right for me. And I'm not saying that's not right for everybody, but that helped me discover really who I wanted to be or what I could become. And, you know, it worked out. And so, you know, I know what a lot of the audience is thinking right now. This is a little woo-woo, I guess you could say. And I think I want to make sure that people out there who are listening listening with an open mind, because, you know, it's really easy to dismiss a lot of the stuff, but I know a lot of the stuff is proven as well. And, you know, if you aren't taking action and you're not finding the success you want to, you might want to start looking within instead of externally.
Mm-hmm. I feel myself being a little preachy on this podcast. And I feel like I'm a little preachy because I really, really want people to get this. And I also feel a little preachy because, you know, it is a little out there and I feel a little uncomfortable sharing it. And I think that's why I feel preachy. You know, as I was giving this presentation, I was really aware to a lump in my throat. And as I was speaking, I was aware of this lump in my throat and I was kind of checking in with myself. And it was because, you know, Dane, just chill out, relax, quit being so preachy. And so now that I address this feeling in my throat, my throat's completely relaxed. And I don't know if you can feel my presence drop in a little more even. But I want people just to consider the fact that the game of life is played in the body, not in the mind. And it's the body first. The body will rule the mind. You can try and outthink and neglect and ignore. But once you start working with the body, like, it just feels amazing. So what I'd like to offer your audience is the MP3 of Don Traxler's Identity Getting Reversed. Okay. So you can listen to that and actually see the experience of what it's like to reverse an identity. And I really recommend you start there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give that a listen. That sounds very interesting.
The other thing is, I'd love to offer one of your listeners 30 minutes with me for free. And if you just post in the comments and share with me what you think is stopping you from taking action, what is holding you back? And the story that moves me the most, the story that is most impactful, I will pick, and you'll get 30 minutes with me and I'll work personally with you and take you through this process. So post below for why you haven't taken action.
Now, is this specifically for someone who hasn't even started working, or is this, you know, someone's fearful of even getting started, or is this, the 30 minute talk or Skype talk with you, is this for someone who perhaps has taken action, just hasn't taken the right action, and is trying to discover something maybe internal instead of external that they're doing wrong?
You know, I think any and all of the above is what resonates deeply with me there. And if you are in a state where you feel like you're suffering on some level, like, and I'd love to help in that suffering for you. You know, really, really specific practical thing is, I used to have a limit. I've cleared 150 limiting beliefs in the last year. In business, I had a limiting belief that said employees are a burden and employees are a hassle. So I never really wanted to hire any. Well, I cleared that. And now we have a team of 9 people working at the foundation. Mm-hmm. And the business is booming. Because I were cleared one specific limiting belief.
Now, what was it inside of you that sort of made that limiting belief a reality for you before?
Well, total panic. I actually, you know, I saw my mom try to run a piano studio, and she hired all these piano teachers, and she was just miserable running this business. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and I didn't know that was there at the time, but you know, the unconscious mind doesn't know time. So like, if you have a trauma from 3 years old and you're 30, like my business partner, Andy Drish, he had perfectionism. And he actually found out that it was from age two or three when he had his daughter, when he had his sister. His parents told him to be a good little boy so his sister can follow in his footsteps. And what he made that mean is that I have to be perfect. And so once he realized that, he was like totally free of perfectionism. Now he's like taking action like a boss. For me, with the limiting belief in the employee thing, it was in my solar plexus and my stomach, and my whole body was like, oh God, I can't, like, I got to pay him and manage him and hire him, and like, they're going to suck the life out of me, and they just their employees are bad. And I can't tell you, it's like, I went in there and I found, this came from my mom. And like, it was like, where do employees really impede your freedom? I was like, well, bad employees do, but good employees, well, they add to your freedoms. Oh, cool. Yeah. Employees are great. So now we have like 9 superstars working with the foundation, and the business is incredible and remarkable.
You know, Dana, it was really cool that you came back on the show today, because in episode 46, we talked a lot of strategy and tactics and gave, you know, a clear roadmap for a lot of people on how to do things. And a lot of people did take action. But I think this is a great sort of second episode that goes a lot deeper. Obviously, it's less strategy, less tactical, but more, you know, about the mind. And like you said earlier, you know, this whole entrepreneur game, it starts with the body and the mind. And so I think it's, you know, even though I know a lot of people are probably thinking, wow, this is pretty crazy stuff that's going on. You know, you might want to think to yourself, well, why do I think it's so crazy, when really we all know that it all starts from within. And, you know, I do have to remind myself of that sometimes. And, you know, we talk a lot about the why behind what we do. We talked a little bit about that on the show today. And I try to remind that for everybody all the time, you know, well, why do you want to become an entrepreneur? Why do you do what you do? Or why do you want to become so productive? So you can work more, or no, or so you can, and for me, it's so I can spend more time with my family and be there and watch them grow up and be at home with them. And that's my why. Well, what's your why? And again, that's all internal. I mean, that's obviously, you know, you can't create strategies for why you do what you do. It's all the mind and within. So it's just a really interesting way to bring you back. And also, I mean, really, this is what people should listen to first before even listening to all the tactical stuff, if you wanted to be real about it, right?
Ideally. I hope this doesn't miss people where they're at, because this is the real stuff that's keeping people from taking action. That'd be in the ideal world. But I think, you know, when you're a karate student, the first thing you want to learn how is to break a board. You don't want to learn how to be.
Yeah, so that's true. And I, you know, my mom used to break bricks in karate tournaments, you know, and there are no women's division for that sort of thing. If you watch my FinCon keynote video, which isn't live yet as of this recording, but it will be live soon, you're going to see me talk a little bit about my mom. And, you know, I remember going to karate tournaments and watching her compete against these huge men who would break bricks, and she would go up there and, you know, bow as a sign of respect to the judges, and then get behind, you know, 5 or 6 bricks and like really focus in on herself. And that took her years of training to do. She would close her eyes and start to do these breathing exercises. I thought it was crazy at first, until all of a sudden she'd yell and put her fist through 6 bricks. But that didn't happen the first day she started karate.
Yeah, and that didn't happen by understanding tactics. That was like deep within stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So the link, that in order for people to get that Don Traxler MP3, I've set up a special link for you, Pat.
Cool.
And it's just thefoundation.com/SPI, and you'll be able to get Don Traxler's MP3. And post in the comments if you want to get 30 minutes from me, and we'll add another. We also have a cheat sheet and a full length video on the core behaviors of high achievers inside the foundation. So we studied all the people like Carl, who took massive action all the time. We're like, what makes the students who take massive action? And we put that down into a condensed 9 or 10 point checklist of all the things that they do to take action. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to offer that as well.
Cool. All right. They'll all be on link to in the show notes, smartpassiveincome.com/session85. So definitely check that out when you get a chance. Come on the show notes. Leave a comment for Dane if you want to work with him. And also check out the free stuff. I'm definitely going to check out that audio with Don. That sounds really interesting.
Cool. And I also just mentioned that if you do have an interest in building a software company, the foundation does have an application process. It's not marketing stuff. We do reject 10% of our applicants. And if you'd like to build a software company, it'd be a great place for you to do it.
Cool, man. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you coming on the show. You were probably the highest demanded person to come back on the show after listening to you on 46. Ton of emails from people saying, come back. And I think you delivered something unique and interesting and something that's going to help a lot of people. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Dane Maxwell from The Foundation. You can check out all the links and resources at the show notes, which you can find at smartpassiveincome.com/session85. Thank you so much for listening in today. Again, you can leave your comments at the show notes to get time with Dane, or just leave your thoughts, questions, and all the cool things you have to say at smartpassiveincome.com/session85. Thank you so much for listening in. I can't wait to talk to you the next episode, 86. It's going to be a great one. Until then, keep taking action, and I just wish you all the best. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days, and it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3x credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at hertz.com/businessrewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit hertz.com/business rewards to learn more. Hey, have you ever wondered what makes the difference between a 1 and a 5-star review? Well, turn into Behind the Review, a phenomenal podcast from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Yelp's small business expert, Emily Wojcikovic, features a different conversation with a different reviewer or business owner to find out what was really going on, as the title suggests, behind the review. Recently, for example, Emily featured an episode about Aldea Country Eatery, the number 5 spot in the world on Yelp's top 100 places to eat. Emily interviews a wide variety of customers and business owners from a wide variety of industries, tabletop gaming companies, fitness industry, you name it. This is a really fascinating peek into what makes a great customer experience for any business, and you won't want to miss out. So listen to Behind the Review right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.